Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, the New Age Seafood Shed at the top of the hill at Spanish Fort, the official sponsor of my tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and I apologize for the rattling of the voice. Old age is creeping up, and it's got that far.
Oh, goodness. That's all the pollen out there.
I hear you, brother, man.
But, hey, we do want to thank you, all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion. Give us a shout, 343-0106, or follow us on Facebook or me on X. It's at Cal_SBN. And, of course, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And coming up later on SBN, Tom's tirade on sympathy for the devil. It's good one you don't want to miss. But first, it's always an honor to be joined by veteran and patriot Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Hey, Lou, welcome back to Scuttlebutt, and thank you for your service.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys, and there's a lot going on, and it's just great to be a veteran.
Amen. Amen. I know that I saw your name on the little bulletin there at Major General Gary Cooper's funeral this afternoon. So I guess you were the last to speak.
Yeah, it was a very nice and very well orchestrated put on. An event. And everybody proud.
Yes, that was awesome. I have never seen so many people at a funeral in the Mobile since I've been here.
It filled that church. It was over 400 people.
Good gracious. You know, and they just kept coming in. But, you know, we had about 20 Marines there. And
yeah, y'all did a really good job with the last salute. That was very well executed, very well done. Y'all ought to be proud of that one.
Well, we felt like the general deserved that. He deserved that respect because he was certainly an awesome gentleman. He's a member of our detachment, P.L. Wilson Detachment, Marine Corps League here for 29 years. And, man, that goes back a long time, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, I tell you, he was a real patriot and really unmatched in honor and dignity. He was not only a great man, but a great family man and a great Marine. So I know the Marines ought to be very proud of his
definitely.
Service.
Yes, sir. Give us a, do you have a bio of some of the his event in life and things that he did?
Yeah, you know, he joined the Marine Corps, and following basic training, he went to the 1st Marine Brigade in Hawaii, and he served on active duty with the Marine Corps for about 12 years. And during that time, he commanded several units, including the Marine Corps detachment aboard the guided missile cruiser USS Chicago. So he had a number of varied jobs. And what was really stood out was while he was serving in Vietnam in 1967, he became the first black officer in the Marine Corps to lead an infantry company into combat. And what a great great job he did. That just goes to show you how dedicated he was to the Corps. And he got the Distinguished Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, Bronze Star, 2 Purple Hearts, Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Cross, and a number of other Marine Corps medals and accolades. What's really interesting, he left the Marine Corps in 1970, and he came back to Mobile. He was originally a barn in Lafayette, Louisiana, and his family moved here to Mobile. But when he came back out of the Marine Corps, he took over his family company and funeral home in Mobile. And in 1973, he was elected to the Alabama legislature. So
right.
He's been around. 3 years after that, he helped form the foundation Commonwealth National Bank, where he was still on the board today. So, you know, he had a variety. And because of all of that and his success in business, Governor George Wallace appointed him as the Alabama State Department of Human Revenue. So,
how about that?
Great, great guy.
Yeah, well, didn't he come out of the Marine Corps there and stay here in civilian life for 3 or 4 years and then go back into Corps?
Well, no. What happened was he returned to active duty and was promoted to the rank of a Major General after that stint with the Alabama Department of Revenue. He got out of the Marine Corps as a major.
Right.
And then based on the position that he was appointed, he was promoted back in the Marine Corps as a Major General.
Mm.
And he headed up he was a director of personnel at Marine Corps headquarters.
Right,
so,
right.
And that was the position. So when he went back to the position, they appointed him as a Major General. Okay. And, you know, when he retired in 1989 out of the Marine Corps, President George H.W. Bush nominated him to be the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force, and he served in that until 1992.
Awesome. Right. Well, wasn't he ambassador to some Jamaica or something?
Yeah. In 1994, Bill Clinton nominated him to serve as the United States Ambassador to Jamaica. He served there and then came back to Mobile. And, he was awarded, nominated, and presented with a number of Patriot Awards here. He was selected Patriot of the Year in Mobile Area, Bay Area Veterans Commission. He's also a member of a number of local boards, Mobile Bay Area Veterans Commission, the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team, and a number of other commercial boards.
Right, right, yeah.
So,
what an awesome gentleman. We just were so proud to be around him and be with him when he attended some of our events with the detachment there. I know Cal. I had the chance to work with him on several different occasions, and I know especially on our birthday balls and all, He was Green Marine. He was well respected, and that's why we made it a point to give him that final salute today.
Yeah, and he was also very involved in the community.
Oh, yes.
Especially with the youth of the community. And he created such an aura of greatness that he really brought life to the community down in downtown. And they were like tonight at the wake. There were just a number of testimonies.
Oh, yes.
To his changing people's lives.
Right,
and,
right.
That really, he was both not only a warrior, but a diplomat and a person with real strong democratic values.
Right. Awesome gentleman. All right, well, let's take this break. And when we come back, we'll get involved in some of the veterans events that are occurring in this area.
Okay, buddy.
Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, the regularly aired shows are up via podcast on the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can download that for either Apple or Google. And Tom's Tirade is up on castbox.fm. And again, we're speaking with Veteran Lou Lartigue with the South Alabama Veterans Council. And I know you were both speaking about the services for General Cooper. And as Tom mentioned, I had the opportunity to work with him pretty closely on some projects, including a number of birthday balls there at the aircraft pavilion. And one thing that he General Cooper was obviously a great Marine, great patriot, but he had a very understanding demeanor and was very enthusiastic about unity, not only when it came to the Marines in the area, but just in the community in general. And it was always really an honor of mine to be able to sit with him, work with him, and gain some insight and knowledge from him. So just wanted to say that, in my experiences with him.
Well, he's touched a lot of people, Gal. And he touched them in awesome ways that they'll never forget him. And he reached more people in the area than he thought he did or anybody knows of.
Yes, and, I don't know if I mentioned it, but we issued a proclamation, the South Alabama Veterans Council, making today as Major General J. Gary Cooper Day in the South Alabama Veterans Council geographic area. So, he was very well thought of in our organization and amongst our veterans.
Yes, yes. And, that being said, the Moffett Point Marines are a member of the South Alabama Veterans Council, and they helped with the services there today, and I thought they did a good job as well.
Oh, yes, they always do. And our favorite is Cynthia House, and Master Guns is...
yes, oh,
was,
yes.
She was wrapped all in that. And she was very close to General Cooper, and General Cooper looked to her to keep keep the ties between him and the veteran community strong. So kudos to to Cynthia and,
yes,
and her work to make today a great day
for
the
she did family. an awesome job, yeah. You know. And, you know, tomorrow there'll be some more of it to show up there, too, that had her fingertips on it. So it was awesome.
Yeah, if you want to see a great ceremony tomorrow at 1 o'clock over at the Veterans Cemetery at Spanish Fort, I would advise you to come and observe that ceremony.
It'll be an awesome event. I know the wife and I will be there, and I know you will be there as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, not looking forward to him leaving us, but we're looking forward to him being properly received and properly presented to the hereafter.
Yeah, and that's also a big tribute to the Veterans Cemetery as a whole. He thought enough about that cemetery and was involved with its creation and everything that his willingness to be buried there instead of his eligibility to be buried at Arlington or other places. So, I'll be proud to be in his company one of these days.
There you go. Hey, you'll have a major general in charge in that particular area anyway, you know.
That's it.
Well, that being said, let's move on a little bit. We've got a lot of veterans events coming up.
Yeah, we do. We had a good month last month, and Nick Matranga was our guest speaker. He did a great job, and we issued a grant to the JROTC STEM program for $500 to help them out. So it was a good meeting and a good month. But this month is going to be fast-paced. As everybody knows, we have Memorial Day coming up on the 27th of May, and it's going to be really busy.
Yes, it is. Now, how will that day get started? Don't we have a flag raising that morning?
Yeah, and I hope you guys in the Marine Corps League help us out again, as y'all normally do.
We'll be there, brother. Yes, sir.
Veterans over there. We do a flag raising at 7 o'clock.
Right.
And that kind of kicks off everything at the Vietnam Memorial over there. And then we move quickly to the Memorial Day ceremony at Virginia Street at the National Cemetery. And good old Pete Ream is the MC there. And that's always a great day and a great event. And right. I think William F. Green's at 9:30, and then the veterans, 11 o'clock at day ceremony at the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Cemetery at Spanish Fort.
So right.
Busy day.
Yes, it is.
And, recognizes our people who gave all.
Amen. You know, and, well, we got a couple other events there. What's happening on the 18th?
The 18th, we have our Armed Forces Day celebration. This year, we're not having the Armed Forces Day Blue Star event as we have in the past 10 years. We have taken a little hiatus, and we're going to present an Armed Forces Day ceremony on the 18th at 10 o'clock over at the 9/11 Memorial at the Battleship. And it's going to be about an hour long, and recognizing all of the armed forces and what they've done to the thing. Now, we'll be back in 2025 with our big event, but this year we're going to kind of downsize.
Okay, cool. Now, on the 18th there, with that event, we then move to Ed's Seafood Shed at starting around 11 o'clock. But
yes,
we'll have a presentation at noon to the Panini Pete Hospitality Group, Ed Seafood Shed, Veteran of the Year.
And, all right.
Yeah, yeah. And a distinguished gentleman that I know Cal knows, and you have met him too, Mr. Bubba, Horace Bubba Jackson will be presented. He's 96 years old. He was with me today at the funeral and was able to. He's a World War II China Marine. He's also a chosen Reservoir Korean Marine. So, and he's an awesome gentleman. Awesome gentleman.
Well, that's great. I know Panini Pete and his crew always do a great thing for us veterans. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, that's going to be a very neat event. They're actually establishing a plaque set up there on the wall at the new Ed Seafood Shed, and they'll have the names of the past Veterans of the Year, and the new Veterans of the Year down the road will be posted to that, and it will be public. We'll be able to see it at all times at the Ed. So they're very great organization. They really recognize veterans. Pete is actually a member of the Mess Lords, which is a group of chefs that fly all around the world and treat our troops and at their foreign bases, wherever they're at, and they take their specialty foods in and cook for all those guys. And they're getting that crank back up again now since COVID, and so they're looking forward to maybe having one of those at the end of the year as well.
Well, that's great, and I remember here a couple months ago, y'all presented them with an award, and it was constructed out of the deck.
Right.
With the battleship, and that's great to see it hanging there on the wall.
Yeah, that teak deck. Cal and I presented that to him from the Scuttlebutt Network here, and for all that they have done with us and supported us all these years, so. It's we just enjoy working with those people because they're doing such a fabulous job, and they have an awesome venue there with their restaurants that they have.
Oh, they most definitely. Pete and his consortium there are doing a great job. We also have the Vietnam Wall is back. On the 9th of May, it comes to Baldwin County, at the Baldwin County Coliseum at the fairgrounds
right.
in Robbinsdale, and it'll be there all week. And I encourage all the Vietnam vets. Their opening ceremony is on the 9th at 8 a.m. at the fairgrounds. And,
right.
and you really need to try to make that. That is really, and this is the big wall.
Yes, so, it is. Yeah. Well, Lou, it's been a pleasure having you on here with us tonight, and we will get back on and talk about this Memorial Day flag relay that's going to be on Monday, May the 27th, but it's been a pleasure having you on board, and you do an outstanding job in supporting our veterans. Bless you, and we appreciate your service.
All righty. Airborne.
Thank you. Hoorah.
My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters along with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, the New Ed Seafood Shed at the top of the hill in Spanish Fort, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And it is a privilege to be joined on SBN by veteran Charlie Wilson from Viva Medicare and the Charlie Wilson Agency. Charlie, thank you for your service and all that you do for our veterans.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, man, we're kind of kicking and growling here. Listen, I'm about to give us a little insight about some of your background, brother, and let people know who you are.
Well, I was 3-7 infantry. I was a medic in the Army, served 8 years in our Army, went to Panama, first Gulf War. So love my veterans, love working with veterans, honored to be a veteran. I'm excited about that wall y'all were just talking about coming. Me and the wife going to go over there. She's got some kinfolk on that wall.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's so true. We had one out at Serenity.
Right?
Yeah, we had one at Serenity here not too long ago, And prior to that, we had one at the battleship. But that was one of the big things, you know, that you would see the people that would go out. And the one at Serenity that I was involved with, they have a computer, and you can give them the name of the person you're looking for, and they can tell you what plaque that's on and how far down the list the name is. It'd be the 38th name or whatever, you know, halfway down. But just And we were supplying people with pens or pencils and paper so they could put the paper on the name and rub over it with a pencil and actually take their name off of that wall, and then they would have it at home, you know.
That is awesome.
Oh, but it's hey, you see those guys go out there, man? They big old bad, and you know, and then they walk up there and they start touching those names on that wall of the outfit that they were in, and they stand there and ball like a baby, man.
Back.
Oh yeah, you know, flashback, baby, you know. And that's what we're getting with our PTSD is the flashbacks of actual events.
Yes.
Well, that being said, how about let's talk about your insurance guru. Give us a little insight on what the changes are coming in Medicare.
Yeah, so there's some really big changes coming next year for 2025. Federal government passed a law, CMS passed a law, where right now insurance companies are responsible for about 15% of the cost of medications. Well, they're putting a lot more burden back on the insurance companies starting next year, and they're going to be responsible for 60% of the cost of medications. So what does that mean to my members and everybody out there that's on Medicare?
Right.
There's some changes. You know, there's two ways you can do your insurance when you're on Medicare. One of them is a supplemental plan and a drug plan. Well, those drug plans are going to go up because they're going to have to cover their costs. Supplemental plans, we think, are probably going to go up some as well. With Advantage plans have a lot of extras in there. So some of those dental and eyewear and things like that are probably going to come down. There's rumors that a couple of companies may even put a premium, you know, maybe $10 a month or something premium on those Advantage plans. It don't cost anything right now. Now all this is hearsay, right? So it's just the reason I wanted to talk to you about that is just it's more important than ever for people. Everybody gets their new benefits in October. We really, really got to look at what they send us. I know these insurance companies send so much junk out, and most people just throw it in the trash can. But it's going to be more important than ever to really look at what the changes are and to make sure you're on the right plan. I just want to take care of all our veterans, all your senior centers, and just our senior citizens, and just make sure that they have what's right for them. Because it's going to be some big changes, and there's going to be a lot of people get surprised by it.
Well, and
want to bring attention to it.
So true. That being said, now, excuse me, I apologize. You represent more than one company now through your agency. So we're seeing that there's different plans by just about every company out there.
That's correct. So I represent most of the plans in Alabama, pretty close to all of them. I don't have all of them, but the majority of them. And so every company may have 4 to 10 different plans, right? So there's even more to know out there and more to look at. So we just want to make sure everybody has the right choices.
Right.
There's plans out there that a lot of people, some new plans came this year that people are still eligible to sign up for that a lot of people aren't aware of. There's some new chronic plans. So people with chronic condition, like people that are diabetes, and you don't even have to be insulin dependent. Just if you're taking metformin and have a diabetic diagnosis that your doctor had heart stents put in or stents put in at any time, heart failure, cardiovascular disease. So these chronic plans have a lot more extras in them. So some of them have like $50 for food. They act a lot like those D-SNP plans where the Medicaid plan. So they have rides in them. They have food allowances. They have over-the-counter allowances. And there's a lot of people that qualify for that. The copays are way lower. $0 PrimaCare, about $10 for a specialist. So there's so many people, especially in our area. You know how we eat down here. We fry everything. So there's a lot of diabetics.
We fry ice cream, man. What you talking about?
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know, we want to, you know, insurance is year-round. A lot of people just look at it at October 15th through December 7th, but there's plans that are available. There's five-star plan. If somebody's unhappy with their plan, we can see if, you know, doctor's medications match up. And so there's, you know, it's never too late to change your insurance if you're not happy, but it's also, we just want to make sure everybody's got what they're supposed to have and what's going to give them the most benefits and save them the most money, to be honest.
Well, and we see people that, say their buddies or their wives or what have you, have an insurance company that seems to be better than theirs when it comes to the medicines and the cost of the medicines and what the co-pays and all are. But then at the same time, so they decide to go ahead and change it over to that. But then it doesn't work out that way because the medicines that each one of them taking are different.
And that's right.
And so, they're on different plans. So I think that's one of the really, really important things that the guys are, excuse me, I apologize, guys and gals should do is be sure to get with an independent agent like yourself and have a complete list of your medicines and let you check
medicines
it.
Medicines and doctors.
Right, and doctors,
and if you know you got any upcoming surgeries, there's companies that have $0 outpatient surgery. So when I meet with anybody, I do a deep dive into everything. I help them qualify for extra help. I meet with veterans all the time and our seniors all the time that may qualify for something called low income subsidy. They're paying, you know, $100 for a medication. Now all of a sudden, because of how much money they make, I can get them low income subsidy and they're paying $4 for the same medication.
Right, so, right.
Same thing with Medicaid. I make sure I qualify everybody financially to find any help I can help. I can help them. If anybody's ever out there just struggling, you don't have to be a member of mine, but if you're struggling to pay your drug costs, I've got over a decade of contacts with Senior RX and some of these other local things that can help people really dive in and get some help and some relief on some of their expensive medications. Now, everybody doesn't qualify for that, but most people do. It's not like Medicaid. It's a lot higher. You can make a lot more money. And these manufacturers know that they put the price on these drugs that most people can't afford. It's insane.
Yes.
I can get on that soapbox now.
Oh, yeah. We don't get on that because we'd be here for a week.
Right.
Well, how much time we got, Mr. Phillip? You know, it's a pleasure to have had you on tonight, Charlie. And we'll have to get you back on here pretty soon because there's some other areas of the insurance and the new insurance programs that are coming out from feds as well as the insurance companies. So we say, kid, how about giving your name of your company and how you can be located?
Charlie Wilson Agency. Obviously, I'm Charlie Wilson, and I'm going to give you my cell phone number. So easiest way to reach me, it's 251-370-0251.
There you go. Charlie Wilson Agency. If you got any questions about your insurance, you're thinking about changing or getting ready to start taking that insurance, let him know. And for more information, you can always check us out at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on sympathy for the devil and more when we return.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
In all the faux outrage over the killing of the Iranian terrorist General Qasem Soleimani, you might have missed the fact that we lost two of our heroes in uniform this weekend. The two soldiers were killed when their vehicle hit an improvised explosive device in Afghanistan, where paratroopers assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, the Defense Department announced this Sunday. The IED attack took place Saturday in Afghanistan's Kandahar province, which borders Pakistan to the south. Killed in the blast were Staff Sergeant Ian P. McLaughlin, 29, of Newport News, Virginia, and PFC Miguel A. Villon, 21, of Joliet, Illinois, according to a release. Both soldiers were attached to the 307th Brigade Engineer Battalion, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I hope that the irony of this event is not lost on the communist Democrats and Trump haters out there. that two members of the 82nd Airborne were killed just days after their fellow soldiers were deployed to Kuwait as part of our quick reaction force in response to heightened tensions with Iran, and they were killed by an IED, which was the calling card of murderer Soleimani. As I mentioned in last week's tirade on American First, McLaughlin, who joined the Army in 2012, leaves behind a wife and four children, while Villon joined in 2018 and survived by his mother and father. Now, I spent a fair amount of time trying to keep up with the news, especially when it comes to our military and veterans. Yet, I have not been able to find hand-wringing Chuck and Nancy or their Democratic communist drones over the deaths of these two American heroes, which is a stark contrast to the beatification that the left wanted to bestow upon the very evil Soleimani. Even George Stephanopoulos, heartily conservative Trump supporter, felt the need to challenge the speaker on her support for the protesters in Iran trying to overthrow the hardline mullahs that have run that country since the 1979 takeover by Muslim extremists. Here is the Botox beauty in her own words from the ABC's This Week with Little Georgie.
We're seeing now demonstrations in the streets of Iran against the regime. Do you support those protesters, and would it be a good thing if they brought the regime down?
Well, the protesters are protesting, as I understand it, this brand of protesters, about the fact that that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
was...
They're
calling at the regime for lying. They're saying death to Khamenei as well.
No, well, whatever it is. But the fact is this, there were protesters in the streets before against the regime. After the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us. That wasn't good. Taking down this plane is a terrible, terrible tragedy, and they should be held accountable for letting commercial flights go at a time that was so dangerous. But there are different reasons why people are in the street. Of course, we would love to see the aspirations of the people of Iran realized with a better situation there. But escalating the situation, unless we've exhausted every other remedy.
Which we haven't?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. And if the first first action to be taken on the threat of... there are a lot of bad actors who are doing bad things and threatening bad things to us. We know that, Iran being one of them. And it being its proxies doing bad things to our interest throughout the world. But how do we deal with that in a way that calms rather than escalates?
Now, don't get me wrong. Anyone who has listened to SBN for a few minutes should know that I am no fan of Nancy Pelosi. I believe that she is a vapid hairhead whose Botox injections have seeped into her cranium. How she can think that her comments were in any way coherent or beyond belief. And yet, here she is, the third in line to the presidency, blathering on about just which protesters were out on the streets in Tehran, even though it was widely evident that they were shouting death to the regime and the current Ayatollah Khomeini. The fact that her greatest excuse for not coming out in support of those yearning for freedom under the dictatorial mullahs was that somehow she didn't have all of the facts further demonstrated her lack of intellectual honesty. Either she has failed to receive intelligence briefings that she is privileged to, or she was too busy hitting the cocktail fundraising circuit to remember. I mean, come on. At least Obama, Curry, and the Hildebeest blamed protests on a video that no one had ever seen in order to lie to the American people about Benghazi.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Reality is that she is so desperate to remove Trump from office that he could successfully overturn the Iranian regime and replace it with a peaceful democracy, that she would accuse him of stifling the religious freedom of the Islamic terrorist mullahs. Make no mistake about it. Pelosi, Schumer, Schiff, the squad, and their ilk on the left have no real plan to improve America or promote safety and security in the world. All they care about in the end is power, their own damn power. They care not for the average men and women of this nation, even less for our men and women in uniform. They will stop at nothing to destroy this president and his legacy. the Russian investigation, the attacks on his family, the phony impeachment, the constant labeling of Trump as racist, bigot, homophobe, misogynist, and WASP, among other things, are evidence of their guttural, irrational hatred for a duly elected president. What is most galling is that every time they attack President Trump, they also attack each of the red-blooded patriots who support him. I believe that in their blind rage, they have allowed themselves to fall victim to the old axiom that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. This is certainly apparent in the ongoing story of Iran. In other words and actions, Speaker Pelosi and her communist-leaning drones have aligned themselves with the hardliner mullahs in Iran over the people seeking freedom, including patriots such as you and me. I only hope that they realize that they are laying down with the devil in the process, and that is a deal that hardly works out in your favor in the end. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Flexner. I guess you could say they have sympathy for the devil.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live at 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple of Marines have just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it.
Hoorah.
And there you go. Tom, unless people have been hiding under a rock, it's kind of hard to avoid the coverage of these protests that have spontaneously, and I'm using air quotes, sprung up at these college campuses in support of the terrorist in Hamas. I kind of couple that with the death of General Cooper. As you like to make note of, I did attend Lock Company School.
School, right.
Where some of those protests have occurred there at Yale is right outside of an area, what they call the Rotunda. And one of the things that I was amazed at when I went there, and I was there the early 90s, the whole politically correct thing was in full swing, but they did in fact have marble panels, and this is leading right into what they called Commons, which was the main dining area there. But they had etched into these marble panels the names of Yale alumni who had fought in World War I, World War II, and had died. And, you're probably talking about 50, 60 feet, probably 12 feet high. And so, when I was there, they were to the left enough that there was no ROTC on campus. When I did my stint and having to do reserve duty up there and, walking through campus with your BDUs on could probably have gotten you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just hard to believe how far we have come from that, where, these activists are allowed to occupy an area like that, which is reserved for, the remembrance of those, especially coming up on Veterans Day. And it's just remarkable to me to think that these university presidents and deans allow this kind of stuff, but I think in some ways they actually endorse it. And it's just shameful.
Well, you would think that they would start talking about maybe taking some federal money away from these colleges and these students that are on some kind of special gratuities to pay their college bills and semester charges, that some of that would be, start talking about that, and that they would not give any amnesty to none of these fools, and let it be on the damn record. So when they go to try to get a job, you know, these employers are going to know what they are and where they've been.
Absolutely. Hey, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah.